from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Wednesday to you, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. It is a Wednesday, and that means we've got Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester. We'll see if Tommy can join us in just a little bit. I can tell you that Tommy's going to be very jealous when he finds out just before the show we created something new, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. So
why not? I mean, come on, why not? As a matter of fact, I know the average person right now is thinking to themselves, well, wait a second, that's really nice during the summer months, but Hawaiian shirts in January? And I told Jacob, I said, Jacob, we'll just put our Hawaiian shirts on over our sweatshirt. What's wrong with that?
That's right. Never afraid of a good time here on Sports Daily. I don't know if Jad's going to participate in this. I know Tommy is a fan of a good Hawaiian. We're going to create something here. We're just trying to make the world a better place one day at a time here, Mr. Savage.
Well, Jad, I mean, I might as well find out right now. He's sitting right here across the table from me. Jad, will you participate in Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday from here on out?
Nope.
Well, yeah, that was a little abrupt, wasn't it? Yeah. That was
not a lot of thought there needed. Yeah. It doesn't sound like. The IHOP hotline is. Go ahead, Jed.
I only own one Hawaiian shirt, and it's lost somewhere. I haven't been able to find it since I moved last.
Well,
so.
I'll tell you what. The three co-hosts will make it. We'll take up a little pledge, and we'll see if we can't raise enough money to get you one. How about that? If we get you one, will you wear one?
Sure.
There you go.
It's too bad. It was actually from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I have a couple of those too.
Do
but
you
we
really?
You know, we can
cool.
We can fake it. We can fake it, Jad, for you. I'm the same size I was in about the eighth grade. So I have lots, but I don't know how much good they'll do anybody. All right, 869-1240 is the number on the IHOP hotline. If you want to participate on the program, you can call us. IHOP always excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. We're excited that they bring us that hotline. You can also leave us your video comments. We got all kinds of ways to watch the show in all the Hawaiian shirt glory. You can watch it on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave comments there that we will get to throughout the program. You can reach out to us directly on social media as well. All kinds of different ways to do that. Fun stuff today on the program. We mix it up a little bit when Mr. Savage stops by. We'll talk a little college football. some things being thrown out there by Oklahoma State in the NIL world, which is interesting, making some headlines this week. I want to get Paul's take. We haven't talked about this story, the Tua Tagovailoa Brian Flores story.
Yes.
Now we've heard from all sides on that, and in a very fractured relationship. That was a bizarre in Miami, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
I want to get Paul's take on tomorrow's preseason finale for the Chiefs.
Good.
This is the one where guys play for their jobs. Mm-hmm. I want to get Paul's take on the wide receiver room, and we'll look ahead to that game. And then, of course, the Royals last night fall. We'll dig into that game as well. Glad to be here. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Paul, Royals last night, they don't, you know, make it a 7-game win streak, which is fine. You know, you need to bounce back and win that today, of course. You certainly don't want to lose a series to the Angels at home. So, you know, just get bounced back and win that, but can't win them all. I do think, though, in a 9-5 loss, when Cole Reagans was trying to battle through it, he had good stuff. He just wasn't in command completely. 3 walks in 5 innings, but he did have 9 strikeouts, but he just, you know, he couldn't get through it. And look, they're in a position in a game like that. It was 5-2. There was an error that led to another run. So it was 5-2. And in those situations, with Reagans at a high pitch count early in the game, the Royals are going to have to turn the ball over to the underbelly of their bullpen. That's not a situation where you know, give your bullpen arms who have been good the ball there. And, you know, James McArthur came in, but he gave up 3 hits. He did get through his inning. Chris Stratton was terrible. Zerpa was not good. And Will Smith was terrible. And the game gets away from you. And that is, you know, it's hard. I'm not blaming Quattraro, but I think he did what he had to do. It was a short start from your starting pitcher and you were trailing. But it is a problem because the Royals offense, you know, they were coming right back and attacking. You know, they got to that 5-run mark, but then, you know, the bullpen gives up 2 runs in the 7th, 2 runs in the 9th, and doesn't allow the comeback, which looked like it might happen. And it is something to think about long term, Paul. The Royals, you can't sit here and say, well, they just got to be leading every game going into the end of a game if they're going to win it, because that's not reality either. They still need these pitchers who are clearly not the back end bullpen guys to be able to step in and keep it close, still give you a good outing, but they can't collectively. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, so collectively yesterday, the bullpen arms used, they went for 4 innings. They gave up in those 4 innings collectively 8 hits. They walked 4 batters. So in 4 innings, you've got 4 strikeouts, 8 hits, 4 walks. And of course, they give up the 4 runs. That's terrible. I mean, you can't, like, there's no other way to, you know, there's no other way around it. And they're just going to have to find a little bit more. I think they'll be okay without it. This probably isn't the way you know, in a playoff game, I'm not sure you do the same thing. You probably are just going to throw your good arms regardless of the score, I suppose. But they still do, Paul, have to get to the playoffs. And while they gained a ton of ground during the win streak last night, did not go quite as well. You saw Boston win. So Boston's back within 3.5. Seattle did not win. So that's certainly good news. Cleveland ended up winning a wild one. So you've sort of lost a game there, but Minnesota did not. So not all the damage done, and they're still fine. I don't want to, you know, I don't overreact to a game 2 loss like that, but the bullpen problem rears its head fairly often, and last night was a perfect example of overall the lack of arms there.
Right. Well, you know, before we really start crying too much, Jacob, let's point out that the Royals are solidifying their hold on the wild card. I mean, you know, they're a few games up now on the Red Sox, and so, I mean, it's a good thing. We're kind of happy. And of course, you've already pointed out, you know, this is baseball. I mean, you know, you think you're going to get into a slugfest and beat somebody 10-9. I guess that happens. But, I mean, that's not really the way the Royals play. I mean, they're basically a team that's pretty solid with pitching. You know, they're going to have pretty good offense. I mean, it's not going to be the caliber of, say, the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers, but it's pretty good. So, I mean, these things are going to happen. I mean, really and truly, it's been a good run. It's been a really good run. I mean, you're in a position where the run that you've had over the course of the last couple of weeks now has you, what, I think it's like 3 or 4 games up in the wild card right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've lost track of my stats for the last
bit. They're 3.5 up.
Is it 3.5? Okay, well, yeah, I knew it was somewhere. Yeah, I lost track of it in the last couple of days. But the point is that, you know, this is a point where I'm a Royals fan. I'm not sure that we're going to have this work out the way we want. I'm a Royals.
You are, Paul. Look, Paul, you're 3.5 up.
That's right.
You're not in it. So you're not in the, you know, the daily grind of this like we are, how we're just following baseball on a day-to-day basis, which is so refreshing. But you're 3.5 up. You're tied with the Twins. So really you're 3.5 up sort of times 2.
Yeah, and the problem with that is what?
The same record.
Yeah. What's the problem? You're 3.5 games up right now. Yeah, come on.
Well, the problem is what the schedule comes up with 20 straight games against playoff teams, which is what's coming after tonight's game against the Angels.
That is a good problem. So, but I mean,
I still like there is a great chance and better than 50-50 chance, absolutely, at this point that the Royals are in. They do have to get there, right? And that's never going to go away, that fear. Until we get through the regular season, like
you
there's always
going
to be the fear.
You got
but
that
I don't
right.
But I think just like we have all year, I do think it's okay to look at when they get, you know, when they get there, then what, right? And when we think about it that way, it's hard to imagine. And every year in the postseason, we sort of see this, right? Teams lean into their, you know, whatever it is, 3, maybe 4 best relief pitchers, and they just ride them through the postseason. That's what happens if you're going to win, right? If you're winning, that's what you'll do. So it really is more of a problem for these final 3 weeks of the regular season or whatever it is, 3-4 weeks of the regular season than it is for the postseason. You still have to get there. If the Royals reach the postseason, I don't think we're going to be terribly concerned about what Chris Stratton and Will Smith and Zerpa are bringing to the table, because they're very likely, in a good scenario, not going to pitch in those postseason games. They will lean into the arms that have been good. They still need one of these guys, though, to help the good group of relievers. Urcic, Bubich, Harvey, you hope, right? Maybe Schreiber now back from injury. And so to see all of them sort of collectively struggle last night is a little bit of a problem. It's not going to be Will Smith. It's not going to be Chris Stratton. I mean, those guys were not major contributors to a World Series team last year that they were both on. It's probably most likely going to be MacArthur. But again, last night, even though he got through his inning without giving up a run, he gave up 3 hits in the inning. So you still need him to continue to sort of get back. And again, he would be option 4 for me at this point. But it matters for the regular season far more than it matters in the postseason. You have to still get there. And in these kinds of games, Paul, I mean, the Royals give up the lead and they go way down. They got those runs back in the very next inning. Like it was just like, it felt like it was two innings technically, but it was just like, boom, right there. Right there, they scored 3. They gave up 3 in the 6th. They gave up 2 in the 7th. They got 3 of those back in the 7th. But then they gave up more runs. And it's just like, you know, that part of the bullpen, if they come into the game, I just never have confidence that things are going to go well. At this point, Austin chimes in on YouTube, says best case scenario in the playoffs, you get a starter to go 6 or 7 and you only use the arms that have been great all season. That we're agreeing. We're saying the same thing. Yes, that is a best case scenario. But look, one of your good arms needed to come out in the 5th inning yesterday, right? He needed to be out of that game. And so he had to come out and then you get into the underbelly because you don't have a lead. That can happen in the postseason. But I would say this, if you're in a postseason game and you're up against it, when you know you get built-in days off for travel to go, you know, to go back and forth, you're not going to that group of pitchers, even down 3 runs like they were. I would still say you're going to your good arms there to try to keep it close. So it is not as big a deal for when the Royals get there. It is a much bigger deal in getting them there. They still have to get there. Yes, they have a 3.5 game lead in the wild card. However, they play 20 straight games, Paul, against really good teams.
Really good teams.
They will have, I mean, there may be statistically a tougher schedule, whatever, in the rest of the regular season, but I won't believe it because the Royals are going to have an absolute gauntlet. We've talked about it for a week now. It is going to be brutal after today's game against the Angels. And they're going to have to take advantage, and they need to win tonight. It's not a must win or anything. They need to win it. Mm-hmm. And look, they could come out and play lights out and play great and go, you know, win 13 of those 20 games against that, and they'll be fine. But you do need to protect yourself as much as you can. And in that stretch of games, you're probably going to need to lean on a couple of these relievers. And man, it's just to see them collectively struggle. Last night was such a, you know, just a like eye-opening, like they're still not a good collective bullpen. They've gotten much better at the back end, but collectively they have just not been good at all.
Well, and that just made and you make me wonder. I says, I'm kind of sitting there thinking to myself, you make me think, well, what is the one big series? I think you got Cleveland coming up in what, 2 weeks?
You got 7 games left against Cleveland.
I know, but you got Cleveland coming up. Let's see, the first game is Monday, August the 26th. That's just less than a week away. And you have a 4-game series with Cleveland. How big is that series? I mean,
they're all big.
They're all big.
You got to play 3 against Philadelphia, who might be the best team in baseball.
Well, that's true.
And then after that, you got to continue a long road trip. So you go to Cleveland for 4. Then you go to Houston to play baseball's hottest team for 4. And then you come right back home. No days off in this stretch, by the way. You come right back home and you play Cleveland and play then Cleveland Minnesota. Uh-huh. You'll finally get a day off there on September 5th. Right, but that's the only day off that they're going to have after tomorrow. They'll get one tomorrow before the Philadelphia series. But when that stretch of games starts, you go Philly, Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland without a day off. Okay, and then it doesn't get much easier after that. You still have Minnesota and at the Yankees, and then it finally gives you some relief.
Yeah.
But it like you got to get there. Like, you still have to be able to do this, and it's too much pressure right now to say, all right, you got to have a lead every game going into the 7th inning so you can hand the ball off to these. That's a ridiculous ask.
Right.
I mean, that's just unreasonable.
Well, and if you still have a lock on the wild card at that point, by the time you get done with the New York Yankees series, I mean, you're going to have it. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it to Detroit. You're not going to lose it to the Giants. You're not going to lose it to the Senators. The Washington Nationals. You're not going to lose it to any of those teams. So, you know, the next what? 3 weeks? How important is that? Well, it is. It's the season right there. I kind of like that. Put a little pressure on them. I mean, it's a team that's going to respond.
It's not the season because they do finish with Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, Washington.
It is the
season.
And
then a banged up Atlanta.
But it could be the season
in a positive way, right? If they go into that final stretch with the same sort of gap they have now, you feel good.
Right.
But I will remind you of this too, Paul. There are still so many teams technically in it, and there just aren't really that many bad teams that you don't get a lot of relief. And they have had a little bit here, and they've taken advantage. They've won 5 out of their last 6 games. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to get that win tonight, go into that day off. Every time you and I are on, and it's because it's on Wednesdays, and Thursday's a pretty common off day if you get one, we say the same thing. Boy, it'd be really nice to bounce back and get that win headed into the off day.
Yeah.
It's a little less urgent than it has been the last couple of times we've been in here talking about that, but there's still a moderate amount of urgency.
No, there is.
You could potentially get up to a 5-game lead over some teams before you start that stretch. That's sure nice to know that you've got in your back pocket to let you play a little more loose and free.
Yeah.
You know, I think this team plays loose and free plenty, but you know, don't want to overreact to it. It was a really bad night for the bullpen. That's a part of the roster. They're just not very good in the middle of that bullpen. Yeah, all right.
Where are the White Sox on the schedule when you need them?
Right. They've played plenty against them. We'll get a look at tonight's game and tell you about the starters and the bets and all those things a little bit later in the show. Let's take a break here. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up at KFH and all the Odyssey studios with some great coffee. We're going to come back And we'll dig into some of these other stories. I want to get Paul's take on the preseason game tomorrow for the Chiefs, and then we'll talk about Oklahoma State. We'll talk about the Brian Flores story. All of that's still to come here on Sports Daily. Paul and I haven't talked about, you know, the Cowboys either, which we may get into with the, you know, still waiting on CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Time's running out, Jerry. Like, what do we, you know, there's a term for that. Something or get off the pot. Like, no. Make a decision here. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, one way or the other. You got to make your call. We'll talk about that as we make our way through this Wednesday as well. Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. You're welcome, everybody watching on the video stream. It's party time.
My we'll favorite, right by the way.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday on the show. Yes, that's a thing now. We just decided it would be. Paul, I'll need you to remind me every Wednesday. Right.
You know, my biggest dream. Hawaiian. You know what my biggest dream about Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday is? We need a sponsor. I'm gonna get with Tommy. I'm gonna say, Tommy, we gotta find somebody that will
make that happen.
We gotta make this happen. I mean, when you have two show hosts that are as passionate about their Hawaiian shirts as you and I. We can make that come through. For some business out there, we're going to be able to increase their business in Hawaiian shirts.
You know, a good Hawaiian shirt is a statement on life.
Yeah.
And they've become a little cuter and trendier now, you know, so you see them a lot.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. Paul Savage and I were rolling with Hawaiians way before it was cool.
Long ago.
It's just a statement, right? You walk around, you know.
Right.
All right. See that guy in the Hawaiian over there?
Yeah.
He knows how to have a good time.
Yeah, he's special. He's a special guy. Yeah. That's what they say about you and me.
I inherited my love for them from my dad, who's a real life cowboy. Now he's a little older now, so he doesn't, you know, he's not roping and riding, doing all that stuff anymore. Man, if he's going out, he threw on a Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. You know, you let everybody know.
It's a lifestyle.
No questions.
It's a way we have chosen to live our lives. It's a lifestyle choice, isn't it?
That's right. I'm glad it's become a bigger thing, but we're going to make it a thing here. Yeah, we'll have to find a sponsor.
Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, yesterday at football practice, KWCH was out at the practice recording. Yeah, he was out there.
You're taking the words out of my mouth. We're simpatico today. I was just looking, so because I wanted to talk about this. So Paul is back at Wichita East this year.
Another
high expectations for the Blue Aces.
Very high.
TJ Cleland was out there yesterday. He was like, "Yeah, I saw Mr. Savage out at East practice. I didn't know you were back out there, but I'm glad you are." By the way, that story, if you missed it last night, as a look ahead to Wichita East, is up right now at catchitkansas.com. Very excited to have TJ and Brandon stopping in on Fridays this
year.
All right, hold on.
We got to bring that up because last night was so screwed up with the political conventions going on. I tried to watch it. I recorded it. Then it didn't record because of the lateness of you know, the CBS deal with
CatchKansas.com. Well, CatchKansas.com right now. Yep.
Is it going to be on Channel 12?
It was on Channel 12 last night.
Well, but that's the problem. I don't even know when because I recorded the 2 o'clock version
because we got pushed back by the convention. So two nights in a row now, these conventions. Yeah. I love, and this goes to all political parties. It's not a political statement, but it drives me crazy that they basically get all this free campaign airtime and they can't even stay on time. But they pushed us back the last couple of nights. All right. You go to catchkansas.com and it is there. It did go in the newscast that just aired late. But catchkansas.com, we're excited to have TJ and Brandon, and they're going to make football picks with us this on Fridays, Paul, and then we'll just kind of carry that into some high school football.
And he did a great job. I mean, he was thorough. He got shots. I mean, really, truly, you guys are lucky to have him. I like the kid. He's really good at what he does, and he worked exceptionally hard to get what he needed from his visit to our practice camp last night. So congratulations to him. I know he did a good job. I'll get on catchkansas.com and double-check the piece.
Yep. So that's there for you. And that tour, by the way, continues. They're out there. We've got Rachel Hallam out, like, way out west, getting some of the really cool stories from Western Kansas.
Oh, I like that.
And then tonight, and then we've got right. Brandon and TJ hitting the Metro School.
Good.
We've got all kinds of high school sports coverage, so that's cool. Catch Kansas, and that partnership will come to full fruition here in the next few weeks as we make some. I think we're making our first picks next week, so you better be ready, Savage.
Wow.
All right, Paul. This Oklahoma State story. You sent it this morning, and we were kicking it around a little bit yesterday. So what they're going to do basically is put QR codes on the backs of their helmets so that people can, during a game, in theory, scan that code and contribute to the NIL fund. Now, a couple of different thoughts on this. I love that Gundy, the old school, Gundy, who's always got something to say and who just a week ago was basically like, that stuff's all done. Now we're all in the same locker room. We're done. Your contracts are negotiated, basically. It's time to focus on football. But he was a big advocate of this yesterday, talking about it. He was asked about it. I love when you see the old school guys fully bought into the changes in college sports. You know, there we have seen some of the old guard like bail and just stop coaching because they don't want to deal with it. But Gundy's a guy who I don't think ever gets enough credit for how good a job he's done at that program. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me that Oklahoma State's at the forefront of this. So I say that and then also will tell you, I would be stunned if this actually generates much money for the program. It will be hard to do.
Well, it will be, but there's going to be certain players that have a family member. Now, let me put it this way. You said there are players. Coach Saban throw into that category about a guy who sees changes coming, doesn't want anything to do with it. Coach Saban's got nothing to prove. I mean, what, he's got 5-6 national championships. He's got nothing to prove. There's a good example of that. But basically right now, if you're wanting to remain a college football coach, you adjust or you die. It's just there's no remaining neutral. You adjust and you figure out how you can make NIL work for you or you die. You learn how to use the portal or you die. I think it's just that simple. And so those guys that are still remaining, still coaching, even the old timers, they've got a decision to make. Either I adjust or I'm going to flounder and I'll get fired anyway. So now I think that's what you see. And you know something? I'm going to say this. I'm getting some responses from kids that I've known over the years that are at the college level. Even some of the smaller schools are going after NIL, asking people to contribute, which is, it's a contribution to a school. It's not a contribution to any single individual. I mean, you can't really just say, I want to give $1,000 to, Joe Blow because I know him. He lived down the block and I watched him grow up. That's not the way it works. It goes to a collective for the NIL, for the school. And, I'm starting to get requests, believe it or not, from small schools that I know where kids have gone. They know me. And I'm talking about even as low as the Division II schools are starting to work NIL.
Of course.
Now, it never really crossed my mind that this would become so big for those kind of schools. But why not? Why not, Jacob? I mean, if it means more money for the program, survival, you're getting some kids, you're paying some kids. Yeah, why not?
What's important to me on this, Paul, I again, like the technical process of a sporting event with a QR code, like you're going to have to pause the game if you're watching on TV, and maybe it's easier for fans in the stands, right? But the reality, I'm not concerned about any of that. The effort, if I were a player or a parent or a representative, the effort is appreciated, right? The effort of trying to find ways to do it matters too when you're out there recruiting. The reality is all that money that makes a difference is coming in other ways. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this generates a ton of money for these players. I just don't think that I am wrong because I think it's going to be very hard to do it. But what you'll see now is probably very soon every team start to do this. And it will matter, I think, at least a little bit that Gundy and Oklahoma State was out at the forefront. That stuff matters. If I'm a player now coming up in this, just the effort, like just show me that you're trying to do these things for me. That goes a long way. I give Kansas State a lot of credit all the time. They were at the forefront of NIL, at the forefront of at a university level supporting these efforts. They put their money where their mouth was. I absolutely think we've seen that pay off for them. Mm. I think they are recruiting at a clip, both in football and basketball, we've never seen before. This is all great for college football. Find ways to do this. I saw, and I don't know the details of this story, a quote-unquote general manager yesterday with, I think it was Alabama involved, and like, that's what you got to do. Those people better be able to deliver if you're going to put the resources there to, you know, to pay somebody to come in and do it. But you got to be at the forefront everywhere.
Right.
How can we generate money for, you know, for our programs now? We know, because the elephant in the room is revenue sharing is coming. And this is a way. I don't think it'll generate a ton, mm-hmm. but it might generate lots of small amounts from younger people. Mm-hmm. Older people, Paul, if I told you, hey, there's a QR code on the back of the helmet of Oklahoma State and you're watching a Cowboys game, would you even know how to make that happen?
I would. I think I could do it. But, you know, but it also means that somehow, I guess you have to pause your TV right there on the spot, on that spot where I guess you can get a good quality, not a blurry image of the code. And then you just take your phone and you copy it off, and there you go. I guess that's the philosophy on that.
But is that any harder or easier than just going to find out a way to contribute to their NIL? Because I would imagine it's right front and center. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the execution of this, I don't think will be tremendous, mm-hmm. but I don't even care about that.
You made me. Go ahead.
It's the effort. It's the effort that I applaud. Uh-huh. It's Mike Gundy being open. You know, out there and front facing with, I love this opportunity. I want every kid in my locker room to know, if I am their coach or administrator, that I will do anything to help them earn.
That's right.
And I will be supportive of those efforts. Mm-hmm. That is important right now in the battle for what I don't want. What I don't want is Dabo Swinney up there bitching and moaning every time he's asked about it, that these players are getting paid.
Right.
That's what I don't want.
Well, I got you there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you mean. You know, everything is so much more open. I mean, we're all open to these kind of deals. Listen, Jacob, I remember 10, 12 years ago, we had a discussion with one guy by the name of Bruce Hurdle. Remember him? Remember Bruce Hurdle? I remember Bruce Hurdle. And we had a discussion one time about the controversy. Believe it or not, this was a topic. The controversy of whether major league sports teams, football, baseball, basketball, should have paid sponsorship logos on their jersey, as we watched every night with the Kansas City Royals with a QT logo on their sleeve. Yep. But there was a day, and I know you probably remember these days. I don't think you were with the show at that point, but there was a day when, my gosh, that was a big controversy. It was like, you're wanting to sully the name of this particular sport and have teams, major league teams, wear logos on their jersey? Are you crazy? And of course, that was a huge conversation, a huge debate.
Well,
and now look, I mean, now you got QR codes
they've got
on helmets.
And I don't care as much about, I'm fine with it, but I would tell you this too. The difference there, and the reason you could have more of a case is because those players get paid. Right, those teams are generating billions of dollars.
Well, it could translate now to college, sure, of course.
But college, like, where you don't have that opportunity, where the we'll call it the profit margin for a university versus a pro sports team is very, very different.
Mm, right.
Yeah. Look, if you're telling me that, you'll almost have to take like Alabama, I guess, because they're one of the very few who just keeps to, we have two uniforms and that's all we have, which I appreciate so much, by the way. If they want to, and by the way, the other funny thing about that particular conversation, they've had logos on their uniforms, Paul, since the beginning of time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
It's just a sporting apparel logo.
Right.
Yep, you know how much money Nike pays to put their swoosh on every mm-hmm. uniform?
Right.
You know how much Adidas pays, whatever. They've always had logos on their uniforms. Mm-hmm. Right, it's all, they've always been there,
and
right?
And it's effective too. By the way, the show, the movie Air. Have you seen Air? AIR. About how Nike developed. And let's face it, this is big money. I know there's stories, and I've heard stories. You've probably heard the same stories where there are guys that back in the day, they sign with Nike with the stipulation that they can wear an Adidas shoe and then glue on a Nike logo. So that just tells you, and I'm sure that
is
that
it because the shoe wasn't very good. That's funny.
Because they didn't want to change what shoe they wore in a game. And but I'll tell you what, we'll take Nike's money and nobody would know. How would you know? Nobody would know. I mean, when you all you're going to see is the swoosh.
It's all doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Now you just need to publicly let your athletes know you're working for them.
Right. Right. By the way, I'm sitting here looking at a picture of Andy Reid. Andy Reid's got a hat with a hat logo. I'm not sure what hat company it is. I think I would know who it is, but there's a hat logo on the side. On his sleeve is a Nike logo, and he's wearing a t-shirt that has a logo, but I can't tell what it is. As I sit here, there are three different logos on Andy Reid looking at a picture of him on the sideline. What does that say?
You know what Andy Reid is, Paul?
What?
He's a big Hawaiian shirt guy.
Oh, yes, yes. I like it. I like it.
Maybe the most famous representative of the Hawaiian shirt movement that we have right now in society.
Well,
we appreciate that here on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday on Sports Daily. You know, get it out. Let's make that. We're going to start this societal trend. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday every Wednesday. I hope that you'll participate. And if you don't have a Hawaiian, find one. Austin asks us, he's going on a cruise. Where does he get a good Hawaiian? I would answer it, Austin, wherever you can find one, wherever it's calling from.
We're going to
see one on the rack, no matter where you are, you just grab that bad boy and you roll with it.
Jacob, we're going to find a sponsor. We're going to find a sponsor that will provide great Hawaiian shirts to the city of Wichita. We will have done our deed as good guys.
We'll have done our deed when we see a few more rolling out there on a Wednesday.
There you go.
That's what we'll have done. 869-1240 if you want to chime in on the show. We'll give away some HTO a little bit later in the show. We'll tell you how you can win that. We have all kinds of good stuff coming. I want to get Paul's take on the Chiefs in the final preseason game for them. What's he looking for? Coach Savage. I want to get to this Brian Flores story as well. We'll get you a look and a preview of tonight's Royals game, which, of course, you can hear on KFH. You can hear all the Royals games on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in tonight at 7 for the Royals hosting the Angels, or simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH. We're going to come right back. We'll have more Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It's been great golfing weather out there. Getting a little rain helped keep things green, cooling off a little bit. Check it out, 36 holes of golf for you to choose from. Go take a tour of the facilities out there. Golfers, it's a dream to have those 36 holes. Always able to find a tee time. Give them a call, tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We get a comment from Chris on Twitter. On X, I should say. Sorry. Always a good commenter on the show. Says, seriously, Gundy just had a fit about it. I assume NIL 3 days ago. Speaks out of both sides of his mouth. I don't take it that way, Chris. I think he doesn't want it. He doesn't want the if you're referring to what I heard, which was him saying he doesn't want to hear from representatives. He doesn't want to talk about money or contracts or anything while the season's starting. I think that's different than saying I'm excited for the NIL opportunity for a QR code on the helmet. I think he has a point too. And I think this is where it needs to get. Like, you get to a certain point and all the transfer portaling and the, you know, the negotiating needs to stop and you got to still focus on football. But that doesn't mean you can't embrace this thing that will have nothing to do with what the players actually accomplish on the field.
Right.
And saying, yeah, look at this new opportunity for people to give to the program.
Yeah.
You better be able to do it both. But I do not have an issue with him drawing a line in the sand of, okay, it's football time now. Mm-hmm. This is why, and it's no different than the way the pros go about it, right? Why are we sitting here wondering about if contracts are going to get negotiated before the start of the season? Because these coaches want that stuff done,
right?
By the time it's, which is why Jerry Jones is failing the Cowboys right now on about 30 different levels. But no, I mean, Gundy can say, we're done negotiating, but also, from a completely separate, you know, place, because the players don't have anything to do with this. Hey, you're going to see these fans. You're going to see these QR codes. Love it. Donate to our players in the NIL collective so that we can continue to get players.
Yeah, Gundy's not stupid on this stuff. He understands one thing and one thing only with regards to where he is at Oklahoma State. He's kind of like the second sister to the University of Oklahoma. He understands that he has the ability now with NIL to be able to compete with OU for any player. Go ahead.
With Gundy, because I don't always agree with everything Gundy says. With anything anybody says. I don't care, though. But I do think there's this reputation of, like, he's so out of touch with players. Players must not want to play for – and every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, really? Because he still has great players, and they still win a lot of games, and he's still consistently sending guys to the NFL. Clearly, he knows how to communicate and have a relationship with his players, or he would not survive today's world of college football.
Can I tell you what it boils down to? When somebody looks at Coach Gundy or any coach in America, their thought, if they're a really good football player and they have a future in the NFL, they look and say, what is my college experience going to do to help me to get to where I want to be, which is the NFL, and play for pay? That's what they look at. That's what kids look at. They're going to say, my position,
college, isn't it? Don't we all choose a college based on how it's going to set us up in our professional lives?
Call it minor league if you want. It's minor league, AAA football if you want to call it something. But that's right. But players are going to look at, where can I get to the NFL first? But they're also going to look at NIL money. And if things are fairly even, I've got this coach over here that'll help me at this school and this coach over here at this other school I'm looking at, I'm going to go where the money is, because that's the way the nature of things are. And it's kind of a prestigious thing, too, by the way. I mean, let me give you, for instance, if you watch Hard Knocks this season with the Chicago Bears, it's really kind of fun because you're getting a great glimpse at Caleb Williams and how he's working, how he's going through the system and what he's doing to try to get better. It's very, very interesting. But, you know, they have these rookie deals where the rookies have to get up and perform in front of the team. And it's really crazy. But before they start, they all have to tell their signing bonus is. So if some rookie gets up and he says, my name is such, I'm an unsigned free agent, my bonus was $22,000. Oh, Caleb Williams gets up and says, hi, everybody, I'm Caleb Williams. My signing bonus was $25.5 million. And so there's a difference on that, and that's what these kids are looking at. Money is everything to these kids, and that's why this NIL stuff, Mike Gundy, whether you like him or dislike him, he understands QR codes on my helmet is what I need. If that's what I need to do to get my players in, that's what I'm going to do. Because the NFL is where all these kids are looking. Now, a lot of these kids are going to make enough money to set themselves up for life in college, then so be it. But great. The money's important. But you know what the ultimate goal is? And I'm talking about for the top, let's say, 50 players in college football. The ultimate goal is not big NIL money. It's going to come along whether they care or not. It's going to come. It's the NFL. Who can get me there? What team can get me there?
We all go to college for an education on how to be the best earner professionally we can be. Let's stop pretending like these athletes are. They're going to college to get an education in sports and how to be an earner in sports. Anyway. Appreciate the comment there, Chris, on X. You can always comment on the show. We've got lots of Facebook comments and YouTube, of course, watching on 12 News Connected. Always appreciate that. And you can call the good old-fashioned way on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. We're going to take a break. Hour number two coming. We'll get into this Flores Tua Tagovailoa situation, I guess we'll call it. We can talk about the Chiefs preseason game. There's a lot to get to. We'll look at the Royals game tonight as well, specifically. We'll do it all in hour number two. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. We'll be right back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday for us. We're making it a thing. Join the movement with us if you'd like. Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester today. If you missed anything from the first hour, you can always go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app in podcast form. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, watching all the different ways that you can. 12 News Connected. We appreciate that audience as well. It is fun to grow the show. And boy, I'll tell you, Paul, we are so dadgum close to the start of when things really get fun. Next week, we've got all our insiders coming in for the first time. We've got games at the end of next week in college, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be the NFL, and then all of a sudden, it's going to be high school sports. We are right there, and I'm so excited for it. Fantasy football season, the drafts are starting. If you ever have any questions about that, I know Tommy and I are junkies in that world. We're glad to talk through some things with you. But it's all there for you. The IHOP hotline is open as well this hour, 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Let's set up a giveaway here as we kick things off in hour number two. We're going to give away a little HTO for you here.
Beautiful, yeah.
More than 20 flavors of iced tea. And we're going to have – HTO's got some fall offerings coming soon, so stay tuned for that. We'll get you more details. But if you want to win a free iced tea and a free coffee – featuring free rain coffee, iced hot, however you like it. You can do that by entering the contest. Text the keyword T, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. These are good for Wichita West, Wichita East, and in Derby. Message and data rates apply. That's T to short code 20357. Good luck, everybody.
Good job.
All right, Paul, let's start with this. I have not paid as much attention to it. I know it has been in the headlines a lot. This Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
Brian Flores story. Now we knew this existed, and then Tua sort of basically talked more about it. It was weird in year one for Tua with Brian Flores there. We all wondered why they weren't playing him. Now we learn, you know, Flores was not, we'll call it not nice, but I don't want to say that in a negative light. Like somebody, oh, he's not nice. He was not constructive, let's call it, with Tua. Tua comes out and talks about that. Mike McDaniel has taken a very different approach with Tua, and I don't think that there is any doubt McDaniel has gotten more out of that specific player, right? Tua has been a much better player under McDaniel. He connects with that coach better. And then yesterday, Flores comes out and pretty much says he's learned a lot from it. You know, like, so he didn't get all defensive, at least from what I've seen. He just said, you know, we learn and we grow. And you got to remember that Flores situation was weird. He had a lawsuit against the team. They were trying to tell him to lose games. Like, all that weird stuff was happening at that same time. What do you make as somebody who's coached, as somebody who has coached multiple generations of players and personalities, what do you make of this story, Paul?
Well, this is really interesting. I don't know that I've ever quite seen anything quite like this. I mean, particularly out in the open, the way this is. And Mike McDaniels is, I think, kind of cool. I mean, I know.
Yeah, I do too. Whether he wins enough. Basically, Paul, he's won at the exact same clip Flores did.
Yeah.
If you want to look at that too. By the way,
yes.
That's they've won almost the exact same amount of games in that amount of time.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because there was a day when the way Coach Flores approached his players, that was the standard mode of operation. That was how people did it. That's how coaches coached. That's how teams treated their players. There was a certain amount of, you know, you break them down before you build them up. You got to get them broke down so that they understand what they're doing is what you want done, not what they want to do, maybe not the way they want to play. And to a certain extent, that was a philosophy for a generation of football players. That's the way they played football. And I think probably to a lesser extent, other sports as well. I mean, we all know that there's guys like Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight was a tough person in practice, by the way. He was one of those guys that was not afraid to break you down, tell you what you needed to hear in a horrible way, and then you know, pat you on the butt. I was like that early, you know, 35 years ago when I first started coaching. I may have been a little bit like that, but that's the way everybody was. But I had a coach probably the first 2 to 3 years when I was coaching. One time he says, you know something, coach, you're doing a great job. You're on those kids. You're coaching every snap. You coach somebody. You're doing really good. There's one thing, though, that I would do if I was you. There's a couple of kids, and there's always those kids that can't seem to do anything right, can't seem to do anything the way you need to have it done in order to be successful as a football team or as a defense, in my case, as a defense, not an offense, but as a defense. You got to get those kids broke down and ready to play. And sometimes you got to stay on them. Sometimes play after play, you've got to break down what that kid is doing, and you coach him between snaps. Every repetition is important, and every coaching moment is important. You coach those kids every snap. And sometimes it gets negative. And I had an old coach come to me, Jacob, and he said, Coach Savage, what you need to do is stay on those kids. That's what they got to do. You got to do that. That's the way this works. You got to stay on those kids. But those kids that you are staying on, that you're hard on for an entire practice, by the time we walk off the field, you find something that they've done, even if you have to make it up or it's small. You find something that kid does, and you walk over there and pat them on the butt and say, attaboy, that's what we're wanting. Good job. That's what I want. He said, every practice, that's what you got to do. And that's the way I've always done it. I've always been hard, but you got to get these kids ready to play. These kids want you to teach them what to do. And sometimes you got to be hard because everything's fast-paced. You don't have time to coddle, if you know what I mean, in the world of football. There's no time to coddle. So what I try to do, I may be hard on a kid all practice long, but by the time that practice is over, I find some reason. I'll find something that I can walk over and pat them on the butt and say, good job. That was exactly what I want. You're starting to get it. You leave them positive. And it's amazing just that one little touch will do. And that's not what Brian Flores was not doing that. He was personally breaking down Tua.
Well, he was a Bill Belichick guy, right?
That's right.
And so
that's right.
I'm not going to take a side in a story like when there's that much personal stuff that in context needed. But I do think coaches have to evolve just like everybody else. And no matter what you're doing, you either evolve or you die professionally.
Right.
And I would imagine, Paul, that you don't coach the kids out at East High the same way you coached people at 35 years ago.
Right.
Because evolve.
Right.
And circumstances matter so much. Right. And what guys have gone through and what people have gone through. And I would imagine the goal as a coach, no matter how you get there, is always the same. To get the best out of that player, always, no matter what the path is to be there, The end goal is always the same. How do you get the best out of that particular person? And, you know, there are limits to that. And sometimes I think you wash your hands of it and you say, it's just not going to work here. And that's fine, especially in the professional world. But Tua is a great example. Like he has flourished and been built up. But what I see and what's so interesting to me is I see so many people with this story like, oh, see, Flores is just a jerk. And look at McDaniel and like, oh, man, see, this is how you're supposed to do X, Y, or Z. And I'm like, guys, they've won the same amount of games. Right? Like the last 2 years of Flores and the first two of McDaniel are essentially the same thing. And you can make a case that McDaniel's had a much more talented team in the meantime. So it let's not say, I mean, I don't ever agree with bullying. The only real fights I've ever been in, Paul, with people that I didn't know were when somebody's getting bullied. I'll tell you that. So I don't like that. But I do think there are different ways to coach. And all players need different things. So the end result is what tells you how successful it's been. Obviously, that was not the way to coach Tua. And I think that's what Flores is saying now. He's grown, right? Like I've grown. That was not the way to coach that particular player. Clearly, right? And I don't know why you would ever think it is, guy coming into the league. Why would you ever not want anything but confidence for your young quarterback?
Right.
And you don't want them stepping under that center not confident. So, yeah, that was a mistake, clearly, from Flores. But let's not pretend every player is the same. There are plenty of people who are motivated by somebody in their face and on their tail all the time.
Right. I mean, this is different, though. This seems to be a little different in terms of Coach Flores telling Tua, well, you're not going to be as successful. You don't have what it takes to be that player. You're right. And from the sounds of it, it wasn't just necessarily on the field. But you know, you walk into a meeting and you know you're not very good. You probably won't make it. I don't think you have what it takes. See, that's unbelievable.
I can't think of a young quarterback who would respond to that.
You think not positive, I can tell you that. They'll respond, right. But it may not be in a positive way. And that's it. And I got to give Tua a lot of credit. If he fought through a guy like Flores, hats off to him because he just signed, what was it, $225 million, something like that, $250 million, yeah. Whatever it was a ton of money. So he's now like one of the third or fourth highest paid quarterbacks in the league. So it's obvious that he could play football. But, you know, and the other thing that I know that I kind of take the side of Tua is because there's been some contrition from Coach Flores.
Absolutely.
Coach Flores has said, I mean, you know, oh gosh, I mean, you know, I was
players
just
went up to the podium with him to defend him. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like you have to. I almost think it's within like a roster. Like you have to evolve, and this is to your point, what you were saying earlier. Every player has to be coached differently, right? Not everybody responds. I don't know that I would be able to do it because I probably wouldn't be able to do the hard nose aspect. I wouldn't be able to try to motivate somebody that way. I'd feel bad. Like I'd feel like a big jerk. So I couldn't do it. Some people are more comfortable with that. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I probably wouldn't be able to get it done, though. That's like I wouldn't be able to do it. Now, you know, maybe you can play good cop, bad cop. Maybe you can have the coaches that get in there and do one thing or the other. But at the end of the day, everyone's working toward the same goal, right? I go back to like the way, you know, you heard and my dad went through a boot camp. So I heard these stories, like the way you were motivated in the military. Why do you think that is? Right? Why do you think that method was used and has been used, it seems like, throughout history, no matter what the society, to train soldiers, in a sense? Because you have to harden them, right? In order for them to be as successful as they can be. I'm sure there are circumstances where guys are just jerks, right? But I would imagine that even more often than that, you're trying to prepare somebody to be as successful as they can be. And you're right. Going to get that wrong for a lot of people. I think the modern coach has to be able to look at different players in different ways. Yeah, some guys, you're just going to have to be hard on them in order for them to be their best. Some people operate better with a chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact, there are plenty of great coaches who are only intentionally placing a chip on that shoulder to try to motivate that player. They're willing to be the fall guy. They're willing to be the bad guy. I think there's a lot of parenting crossover here too. Like, you're willing to be the bad guy at times to help the young person or the person being trained be the most successful.
Mm.
You got to challenge that way.
Right.
But you don't have to bully. And I don't know that I, again, I'm not close enough to it to know if Flores was bullying or if he was just trying to motivate Tua in a different,
I'll tell you why when you're done. He was, but
okay. Well, I mean, that is a clear line I don't like. And sometimes coaches get in trouble with that, but at the end of the day, it's a results driven league.
Mm.
And so for everyone to say, oh, McDaniel just gets it so much better than Floyd. He's just so more. And I'm like, God, he ain't winning any more games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad that he's that way. And I think he's cool, too. And I think he's unique and different. And I want to see it succeed because mm-hmm. I'm interested in
right.
it. Well, and it's more of probably the way I would operate. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you ain't winning games, you ain't winning games. And right. they have won plenty of games.
Right.
But they're not winning any more than they were under Flores.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Here's what I know is that there's been some excerpts of this press conference, by the way. And I happen to see it on ESPN of all places. That's where I did see this. And it was obvious that Coach Flores was shaken by this. He was alarmed. Because it felt like, you know, he didn't have a command of his voice. It sounded like it could crack at any moment, you know, maybe even into some tears. I'm not going to say that he was going to cry. I'm just saying he was shaken with his voice. You could tell he's not, you know, being that coach that he is. And one of the quotes that he had, let me just make this quote, I think part of coaching is correcting. I think, Jacob, you and I would both agree with that. I think the biggest part of coaching is correcting, getting kids to do what they need to do to be successful. And he says, and Coach Flores continues, says, I'm always going to correct. I'm always going to have that high standard. And I think, look, I've done a lot of reflecting on the situation. And anyway, he goes on and says that this is just the way he's going to be, but he's learned a few things over the last 2 or 3 years. He's right. Coaching is correcting, and we're all always going to correct. But there are ways to do it. There are ways that, you know, you break down a kid, you build him back up. That's the difference in this situation. There was the breakdown of Tua. There was not the rebuilding of Tua. I think that's probably about as accurate as I can be, isn't it? And the buildup, the breaking down has to be followed by a build up, and that build up has to come quickly. You just can't wait 2, 3, 4
yeah, and
weeks.
Look, he screwed it up with Tua. There's no question. Tua is better than,
but he knows
certainly
he did.
Better than he
knows
thought.
He and, did. He knows he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, and he said, and it's fine.
That's right.
It's interesting that this story has blown up the way it has.
I've never seen a story like this. Have you? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I think
Bobby
so.
We just talked
about Mike Gundy, right? Mike Gundy. Yeah,
he's had those moments.
Boy, he's all over the place sometimes, and I think it's all intentional.
Right.
Right? Remember, he's just trying to, you know, you're.
Remember when Bobby Knight tried to strangle a kid at practice?
That's bullying. I wish that player would have punched him in the mouth.
That's
right.
That's
not.
Well, this was a little bit of bullying too, Jacob. This was a little bit of bullying.
I totally agree.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're hearing from Flores. And I think that's what you're hearing from McDaniel. That's what I'm so fascinated by. Whether there was intent or not, I think it was received that way, which is what's more important, by Tua, clearly. And so in an alpha league where you've got those types of personalities, it just kind of speaks, I think, to the difficulties of the job, right? How do you communicate with, you know, there is not probably a collection anywhere professionally of more people that kind of need that, you know, hard nosed thing than the people inside an NFL locker room. Are you kidding me? Like it is a physical, violent sport where you're trying to get prepared and motivated in a certain way, but not everybody's the same. It's an interesting story. If you want to chime in on it, call us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240.
Yeah.
Let's stick in the NFL
all right.
when we come back. I want to get to the, you know, to the Cowboys
right.
and what in the world Jerry Jones is doing. Want to get Paul's – just a couple of takeaways from Paul. What's he looking for in this third preseason game for the Chiefs? We'll get you more specifics on the Royals game tonight as well. We'll get it all here in the second hour. 869-1240 is that number to call. We appreciate you being a part of the program. All this football talk, by the way, brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Sports Daily is coming right back.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
Alright, welcome back in everybody. Sports Daily here. We're talking a little football. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage on this Wednesday. Tommy will be back tomorrow. Paul, let's talk about the Cowboys and then we'll get into the Chiefs preseason. What do you make? What is your take on Dak, CD, and what the Cowboys are doing? I'll give you mine.
Please, please do.
It is ridiculous that this is still happening. If Jerry Jones at the beginning of this offseason said, we're blowing it up. Dak, you can either play this year for us or you can hold out. I don't care. CD, you can either play the deal you've got or we'll trade you. What do you want to do? And then do it, right? Trade Dak Prescott. Trade CD Lamb. I would tell you this as a Cowboy fan. There is probably half the fan base that would tell you that's the right thing to do. But what's happening is the Cowboys continue along this road of purgatory, right? The other option would have been not letting contract situations with your two best players dragging into now what looks like it'll be pretty close to the start of the regular season. Like, why, if the Cowboys are committed to this roster and trying to win a Super Bowl, your best two players should not simultaneously be in contract disputes. Now, you can argue with the players that they should be in them, and they have a role to play in that too. But if you're Jerry Jones, you can't let that happen if you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl, this stuff is done a long time ago, and it's done behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Rather than now, what are you going to do here? Are you going to cave to these two players? You didn't do anything else in the offseason to help yourself win a title this year. Nothing. What did they add on offense, Paul? Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, come on now.
Well, you come know, obviously what the problem is, Jerry Jones is living in a world where just because you still have time on your contract, in the world of the NFL, what does that mean? That means it's time to renegotiate your contract if you're a really good player. Did I say Jimmy Jones? I don't mean Jimmy Jones, obviously. I'm talking about...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm talking about Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones. What he's thinking is these players still got time on their contract. They're supposed to be subservient to me. They're supposed to be my players. They're supposed to play on their contract. He's living in a world that doesn't exist anymore. Now, granted, legally speaking, he's right. He's got a point. But that world is not here. Now, the main thing that you need to know is that Jerry Jones thinks, well, I'm still going to negotiate. I'm going to negotiate with CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to negotiate with Prescott. I'm going to negotiate with anybody. And we're going to keep negotiating and try to get this thing taken care of. And so with that being said, there's sort of the operation of a Jerry Jones who is thinking to himself, you know something? I have got to get this taken care of. But on the other hand, I have a contract, and I'm old-fashioned about this, but I think my players should operate under the terms of the contract they've signed. They've been paid. They still got time on their contract. We need to get this taken care of. That's not the way it works anymore. It's just kind of not the way it works. I mean, you know, it's you've got to do these things to keep
you can't. Players. But your job is to not let this happen, one way or the other, right? That's your job. And
but,
Jerry Jones,
but he's old school. He's old school. That's not the way he. You think that's the way I that he affected
Jerry
the
Jones
value
has
of
done
this franchise?
So,
no,
so many things well as an owner. So many things. This is maybe the worst thing that he does is manage contracts. He gives players that don't need big extensions, and then he lets things like this happen with his star players. Right? You can't. You just can't let this happen. That if you think that you're going to compete at any point in the next 2 or 3 years, CeeDee Lamb should have had his contract a long time ago. The market has told you that in order to keep those level of players at that position, you need to put them at this stratosphere. CeeDee Lamb is in that stratosphere. You either make the decision or you trade the player. And if you're not going to keep CeeDee Lamb, then you should trade Dak Prescott.
And that's coming to an NFL franchise. By the way, we didn't talk about it on this show, and I'm sure you saw it. Probably 30 days ago, maybe a month and a half ago, there was an article that I read online that at this point, the Dallas Cowboys have been designated as the very first $10 billion valued professional sports franchise. First one, right. Basketball, baseball, you name it, hockey, whatever it is. The Dallas Cowboys are a billion. That's a 10 with a B, billion dollar franchise. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And with that comes a certain extent for these players to think to themselves, man, $10 billion. Well, I should be able to get this. I should be able to get that. And I'm sure that plays into this whole thing.
No, I don't. I mean, there's a salary cap. I think players understand that.
And by the way,
that salary cap went up a bunch. I would tell you on a personal level, I think it's ridiculous that Dak is asking for a new deal. We've already been through this with Dak. Dak needs to just play. And Dak will play. And I think they should just let him play out his contract. He's not going to hold out. He's not going to sit out. CeeDee Lamb might, though. CeeDee Lamb has not had his big contract. CeeDee Lamb, you've got to make the call as an organization. We're either committed to winning, and the problem is it's such mixed signaling. You brought back McCarthy. You basically brought everything back. Well, that's telling us that you think you can do it with this team. Well, you're not going to do it without your best player in CeeDee Lamb. So this shouldn't be you can't let all of the other things happen and run it back with McCarthy and then not run it back with your best player. You got to make that decision as an organization right after last season. Do we think this is good enough? Yeah, this is good enough. Okay, let's move forward. The Dak one is a little bit different.
It is.
Dak has had his big payday. Dak's like, I don't have a problem not paying Dak. Dak's going to play football this year. If he does, if it's not passed this year, That Dak Prescott can make that decision.
Right.
I don't really care.
Right.
Right. He can go be a free agent if he wants to.
Right.
But if you're going to try to win a Super Bowl this year, you need to sign your best players.
Right.
If you're not, which again, there is about half the Cowboys fan base that don't think that's the right thing to do.
Right.
But if you're not, then you trade CeeDee Lamb. You make a change at head coach. Mm-hmm. You rebuild and you try to do these things.
Right.
Because they just didn't add anything. Like they're kind of, They've got one foot on each side of that line, and it's infuriating for Cowboy fans because it's like, which one is it?
Yeah.
Either blow it up or go all in. He said, go all in. Those words came out of his mouth. What has go all in looked like? Mm-hmm. Signing Zeke Elliott?
Right.
And being in a contract dispute well, with your two or three best players, well, that's going all in?
Well, that sounds like it. But the toughest thing on this whole deal for me to look at from an outsider is I look at the position that CeeDee Lamb plays. He's receiver. He's a go-to receiver. He can catch the fade. He can cross the cat. He can the crosser. He can catch.
I mean, he's one of the three or four best receivers in football.
There you go.
Right now.
So he can do everything, and he's that one guy. And when you look at this last draft, what were the two positions that seemed to just be dominating? About what the first two thirds of the first round, receivers correct. And quarterbacks. Boy, a lot of receivers went. You know, and boy, a lot of those receivers in that first round, boy, will they have big impacts. They're having big impacts at camp. They're having big impacts in when they do get in on their preseasons. They're going to be great ones. And we could name about a half a dozen right off the top of our head this very moment. But wide receivers are a premium. CeeDee Lamb is a receiver, Jerry. He's a receiver. You might want to go get him. He's a playmaker. He is a guy you go to when you need 10 yards. I don't get that.
If they made the decision as an organization not to do it, great, fine, don't care, then trade him.
Well, they're still talking. They're talking.
But what you can't do, and they'll get him signed. It's just so stupid that we're even dealing with this. Like, it's just whatever. It is so funny to me that this is even a thing. And that's like, as a Cowboy, and I know the Cowboys aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. They won't. They did nothing to get better. They will not win the Super Bowl this year. And so it's just like, whatever. I'll watch them, and you know, they'll be entertaining again this year, and they won't be good enough to get it done. Mm-hmm. Chiefs probably have a pretty good chance, wouldn't you say, Paul?
I would. By the way,
roster decisions coming. As you go into this final game, and we know the starters don't typically play in this game, and it's tomorrow night, what do you think, what are you looking at as impactful things that coaches are evaluating in this game specific to the Chiefs? Where are they looking, do you think, in this one?
Right. And by the way, it's already been stated, there was a press conference yesterday. In that press conference, Andy Reid said, as of right now, it looks like no starters are going to play. So with that being said,
well, they're not going to play.
He says, of course, he's evaluating that, but we both know he's not.
They're not going to play.
And that's what that means. And Caleb Williams isn't going to play either. So this is going to be not a very entertaining game. It's already been decided for the Chicago Bears. Caleb's not playing. I understand that, and I can certainly appreciate that. And I don't blame Chicago for holding him out of this last game. You don't want anything to happen. You know, get him some reps in practice. Get him game quality repetitions in practice. But this isn't going to be much of a fun game. This isn't going to be a lot. But what can still be discerned, there are still a lot of guys on this roster looking to make a spot. And a lot of guys are going to be playing. There's going to be a chance to learn for some of those, find out who can play, who can't play. Although coaches, by this point, have a pretty good idea who those guys are. So right now, how meaningful is this particular game? Not very meaningful. What are we going to discern from this game?
I think it is.
I think it is. Well, what are you going to discern from it?
So here's what's funny about it. This game probably will have more meaning than the other two, right? As far as decisions that are made and what will impact the team and the roster and all of these things. This one will have, because you're going to have very important roster decisions that are made based probably a lot on how players play in this game. You go through the first two and you're kind of preparing. A large part of those games is getting ready for what you already know, mm-hmm. right? Preparing for what you already know. Whereas this one.
Okay.
I mean,
there will actually
be things decided. We have talked at length this week about the wide receiver room. Do they keep Kadarius Toney? Do they cut Kadarius Toney? Do they keep six receivers? Do they keep seven receivers?
Fine.
That is a pretty important and potentially impactful decision that will be made probably largely based on what happens or does not happen in this game.
All right, let me rephrase the way I put it when I said not much is going to happen. There may be stuff that happens, say, from spot number 30 to 54 on this roster. That's where this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, probably the first 30 roster spots, they already know who they are. They know who this coaching staff already knows who say the top 20 to 30, well, at least the top 30 sure. are. Now, so the impact on this team, because let's face it, somebody goes down, one of those from number 30 to 54, they have to step in and play. Receivers, you're talking about receivers. Very good point. Who's that going to be? For the last two or three receivers, let's say the last two receivers to make this squad, to find that roster spot, this is a big game. Don't think it's not a big game. This is a Super Bowl with regard to their NFL career. They've got to play well. So for those guys, you're right. But for the overall, from 1 to 30, it's not going to make any difference.
No, well, I mean, they're not even going to be out there.
They're not even going to play.
And so, special teams is probably more important this year than it has been because of the change to the return game. You've got to evaluate that kind of stuff. It will be a different sort of way to watch the game, but it doesn't mean it won't be and listen to the game over on KNSS. But it won't be without meaning, and it is kind of fun. Like, it might have more meaning to the roster than the other two have because the players that were playing there, you already knew were going to make the roster. Now, all of those guys competing for the last spots are going to get a chance to get out there and potentially earn it. That is appealing to me.
Well, that is earth-shaking for those kids that are going to be on that field.
Yeah, I mean, because you know they're going to go hard. And
they're going to go hard. It's going to be good, tough, hard.
I do football. Like whenever we see it's. It feels like those starters and the coaches really enjoy this game because they know these guys are getting that opportunity. I think that energy is a little bit contagious, and the reality of the situation for so many of them. You know, your teammates you've been battling through training camp with. You're rooting everybody on. You want everybody to be as successful as they can. But yeah, it should be a fun one. Those roster spots, they're it's coming down to the wire for a lot of them.
Right.
Good luck on our giveaway, everybody. Again, that's the short code TTEA to 20357 via text to win some HTO free iced tea and coffee. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for the Royals tonight. We'll look at all the bets and those different kinds of things and scour around the rest of the sports headlines from the morning. It's on a Wednesday edition. Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all of those who celebrate. Which hopefully will be, everybody soon. We'll have more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Royals baseball tonight right here on KFH, as it is each and every day. It's also on the Odyssey app. Tune in to KFH tonight at 7. Royals, Angels, simply download the Odyssey app, search for KFH. Paul, did you see who's starting tonight for the Angels? Name that the Royals fans have a soft spot for?
No, lay it on me.
Johnny Cueto is making his first start of the year. 38-year-old Johnny Cueto. He's actually been pretty good through a handful of starts down in AAA, so he's going to come up and start for them, which is a little nostalgic, a little fun. Cool. Of course, Royals fans hope they kick his tail today.
Right.
But Johnny Cueto's he's got his fond spot in Royals fans' memories for sure, but he's coming up to start for the Angels. Royals are favored, as you might imagine. Michael Lorenzen on the mound for them. The money line, they're minus 175. Their run line is plus money tonight at plus 115. Bobby Witt Jr. and his total bases over 2.5 would have cashed last night. You can go back down that road. Your Lorenzen total outs recorded line, which is where I've liked to live, is at 15.5. So he needs to get through 5 2/3 for that to cash.
Okay.
And that's at even money. I think that's an option. Cole Reagans last night wouldn't have got there. He did not hit that mark last night, which was even higher. So those are a couple of the bets. It's a game. Look, you never know. It's interesting with Cueto. Like, anytime I always pause at these. Anytime you get a pitcher that you don't have, and there's lots of course, tape on Johnny Cueto through the years, but he hadn't even started much in AAA. So there probably isn't a lot they can look at based on what he's still capable of. They're gonna come in a little bit blind in that regard, which is always moderately dangerous, I think, for the offense. But of course, the flip side is also true. Johnny Cueto was still pitching in AAA for a reason. So we'll see if he's able to do any damage to the Royals tonight. But that is the pitching matchup that nobody saw coming.
Yeah. Quick, can I ask a question with regards to betting, if you don't mind? Have you looked at any bets with Caitlin Clark? Have you looked at anything? I mean,
no,
I'm sure there's an
I don't,
entire
I don't,
Okay.
I would be ignorant to bet that because I don't know enough about, I don't watch enough to, you know, to make a strong play on the WNBA.
You know, I'm not watching the WNBA, but I'm following it. And let me put it this way. Every time there's a highlight, you know, if I'm watching some sports show that I enjoy watching and I'm catching up on stuff, anytime there's a Caitlin Clark highlight, I watch the whole thing because she is really something special. She is really starting to figure out the WNBA. She is figuring it out. And, well, I'll tell you what, you know who she reminds me as a passer? And now, please don't jump on me too hard. She reminds me a little bit of Pete Maravich. Is that an outlandish statement? Maybe that's crazy, but she seems to have a vision that Pete Maravich had, and he was one of the greats. I think we could throw Bob Cousy back in the day into that group. I mean, and I never really saw him play, but I'm going by what people say about Bob Cousy. But, boy, she's got such great vision. She sure finds that open player with behind-the-back player. And she is a master of the bounce pass. And, you know, the bounce pass is almost like one of those elements of basketball that's almost been forgotten, isn't it? I mean, but, boy, it is effective. I find myself watching the highlights, my friend.
Oh, sure.
I'm enjoying it. I like it.
I'm still following her, too, you know, more so than the rest of the – nothing has changed as far as that goes for me, but I'm not watching the games, so I'm definitely not comfortable betting them. I will like when with for instance for me like the three sports that I enjoy the two sports I enjoy betting the most are the NFL. Let's call it college football. I don't usually bet on non Big 12 games. So, I mean, I do at times. But I don't like to bet on things I haven't really watched to get a strong feel.
So you have a feel and for Big 12 football. I got you.
Sure. Yeah. Because I'm watching it each and every week.
Yeah, that's right.
NFL, I watch all of it. You know, I'm a junkie. I watch it 12 hours every Sunday. Like, I watch all of it. There is very little of the NFL I do not see once the season starts. So that's my favorite to bet, even though it's the hardest. And then baseball. Like, for me, it's been a lot of Royals betting. Earlier in the season, it was Rangers before they kind of fell out of it because that's what I'm watching. So that's kind of where I stick to it. And college basketball is the other thing I really like to bet. But in college basketball, it's pretty much the teams we watch, right? Trying to gain any insight because we're watching them. And maybe, you know, it helps us. We feel like it anyway. Get an advantage on things. So, no, I don't typically, unless I'm just messing around having fun, like with some Olympics bets or something, I don't typically bet stuff I'm not actively watching. I love following Caitlin Clark and the headlines this year of the WNBA, but I can't look at a game on a betting app and have any strong take on an over under assist number. I have no idea because I don't know what the other team does. No way.
You know, the interesting thing about this whole phenomenon is that it appears to me, now I could be just reading something into this, but watching the highlights whenever I can of Caitlin Clark, which I've really enjoyed doing, is that she's not getting banged around. She's not getting the cheap shots. She is starting to earn her respect. I think this league is beginning to say, dang, this girl's pretty good. She can pull passes out of her, you know what, with the best of them, and she can shoot the three. Shoot, I was watching a highlight just in the last week or so. She drains a three from touching the logo in the center of the floor. And so, you know, I think this league, it's just me, maybe I'm not, and I'm watching highlights. I'm not watching anything else, really, but it looks like to me, you know, the banging on her, the disrespect that she's been getting or she got early in the year, she's not getting it. The All-Star break came and went, and now we're into the second half of the season. Her team is now starting to make a run, and by golly, sure enough, she's starting to get respect, and I do not see where she is getting disrespected exactly like she did earlier. So with that being said, I think it's kind of cool. I've really enjoyed, you know, my buddy Joe Rocco. You know Joe Rocco. He's a friend of this show. He watches the whole game with Caitlin Clark. He's such a big fan. He watches the entire game.
Yeah, she got bumped by somebody the other night. It's still there a little bit. I do think
it's
a little bit less.
Not like it was, yeah.
whatever. Like maybe it'll just stop in year two. I don't know if it's like a rookie thing.
Whatever.
I've never understood why there was a desire to, you know, try to push her around anyway. Like there's a difference in, you know, rookies learning the ropes and going out of your way to take cheap shots. Like that, there's a little bit of a difference there. My hope is, when I say whatever, it's like maybe in year two, they just feel like they don't need to do that for whatever reason. They feel like they need to do it in year one, and hopefully it's not a thing anymore. And hopefully everybody understands why she's so important to the movement that's happening. Yeah. And I just, right as we're talking about this, by the way, Angel Reese plays a role too, certainly, and is, you know, number two in line of the thing that's making this sport grow so much so fast. I just, these two players, what a gift they have been to the sport. Just looks like she signed a big Reese's deal. So that's good. Companies are paying attention, man. That's what's good for the league. That is the stuff that makes monumental movements for the league. It has to be the most followed year for the WNBA in its history. We didn't know if it would translate from the college game. Boy, it has, makes me think it will continue and translate into year two, which is great for the sport because it is a great sport, and I hope it continues to grow. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today as we wrap up Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. All Brockton Savage.
Time U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.